Thank you, Judy Pilak. Matt Bubala sitting in for Ro and Anna this afternoon and tomorrow on 720 WGN. Happy holidays, everybody. Lots of people out and about on Michigan Avenue having a good time. We're here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to talk a little bit about Jimmy Stewart, reading from the book Mission, Jimmy Stewart and the Fight for Europe, talking about when Jimmy Stewart was first signed to a studio contract. He had to go see studio fitness man Don Loomis. He ranted to his boss, Bill Grady, about the telephone pole circus freak standing before him, weighing in at a ridiculous 135 pounds. Jimmy Stewart was 6'4", 135 pounds when he was first signed to his first movie contract. The fitness man declared Stewart hopeless, only to be told that the ink was already dry on a 7-year contract, so something had to be done to build up the freakish physique of the signee. In the book, they talk about Jimmy Stewart having PTSD when he returned from the war, and while he was shooting It's a Wonderful Life. We'll hear more about that after 4:30. Joining us on the phone right now from DNAinfo.com, it's City Hall reporter Heather Sharone. Hey, Heather, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Matt?
I'm good. Don't you love when right before the holidays there are 3,000 emails released so that your bosses are saying, hey, how about if you write up about 3,000 stories on these interesting emails really quick?
I can't decide whether it's the best Christmas present or the worst Christmas present.
Well, I imagine it's one that Rom wishes he didn't have to give everybody. I'm impressed that he released it, though, on Wednesday and not on Friday itself. Was that an agreement he had to do? Could he have not held off 2 more days? Would he have been in trouble?
Well, you know, it's a settlement agreement with the Better Government Association, which had sued the mayor and the city, demanding that he release all of the emails from his private account that he used to conduct public business. And yesterday, the mayor's office announced that he had reached an agreement to do just that, and that he was instituting a new policy that now prohibits city employees like himself from using private email accounts, you know, Gmail or Yahoo or Hotmail, from conducting public business. It might seem like a victory for transparency, and we in the news media, you know, we like all the information that we can get. It's important to note, though, that there's a suit still pending out there by the Chicago Tribune for much of the same information. And in this case, it was the mayor and his private attorney who decided which emails would be released and which emails wouldn't be. So it'll be interesting to see if we get more emails as the Tribune's court case continues.
So there's still a lot more that possibly could be released. We have 3,000 emails right now, but we don't have everything.
Right. But what we did get is really fascinating, although I probably should say right off the top that, you know, there are no smoking gun emails of, you know, corruption or anything along those lines. But it is a really fascinating, window into how the mayor operates and, you know, how he spends his days and who he talks to.
Yeah. And who knows to reach out to him. Lindsay Rice at DNAinfo.com wrote a story today about Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th reaching out to Rahm after the Laquan McDonald video was released and the beating he has been taking. Moore wrote to Emmanuel, quote, "It's been a rough few days watching the media kick the blank out of you," and then offers to defend the mayor in the press if the mayor brings him in early. There's a lot of interesting little tidbits like that, people trying to play friend or being upset at their friend. You're right, there isn't a big smoking gun of corruption, but it's a real window into the inner city workings with Mayor Emanuel and his close companions, isn't it?
That's right, because these were the people who knew to reach the mayor at his @romemail.com address. So, you know, you or I, the regular Joe on the street, might send an email to mayor@cityofchicago.org. But this was the, you know, email that got directly to the mayor's, iPhone, BlackBerry, you know, right into, you know, his stream of consciousness. What's interesting is how the email sort of dovetailed with the other big city story this week, in that, you know, we now know that the lakefront path will be separated into a path for bicyclists and a path for joggers. Now, I don't do either of those things, but I understand it's a very big deal. And it's going to be done not with public money, but with a private gift from Ken Griffin, Illinois' richest man, who, of course, made billions of dollars through a hedge fund and is one of the biggest donors to Rahm Emanuel's most recent political campaigns. And apparently, he was out riding, running the trail, emailed the mayor and said, gosh, this trail jail is a mess. What can be done? And ended up giving $12 million after an email chain that we were able to go back through after we sifted through the 3,000 pages of emails.
Yeah, that's amazing to me because we read this earlier, but Ken Griffin wrote that he sustained $10,000 worth of damage to his bicycle.
Well, I got to defend him a little bit there. So that email is a little bit confusing, but I did clarify with the mayor's office today that the $10,000 in damage actually happened to his car because he was driving at dusk and he hit one of those speed bumps. And he asked the mayor to have those speed bumps painted so that people would see to slow down and not damage the undercarriage of their car. The bicycle path was a different issue. I would love to see a bike that you could damage that much because that's quite a bike. Would be quite a bike.
Okay, so maybe the email is presented a little lopsided. I'm not seeing the whole thing because what I have out of the Tribune is lakefront bike path is a disaster. How can this be after they just refinished much of the path? Why doesn't the city paint the speed bumps on the road white? So he's talking about the road. Okay, so where he's driving to go park near the lakefront bike path?
I'm not quite sure where it is, but there aren't speed bumps on the lakefront bike path.
Yeah.
Would be, I think, pretty dangerous for people who do run and do bicycle.
Yes.
So it's sort of two separate issues there. But, I think the question that it raises is, you or I, or Joe Schmo doesn't have the ability to say to the mayor, gosh, this thing really annoys me. Can you fix it? And that's what we have, sort of a glimpse in here. These are the issues that sort of, the mayor gets. It rises right up to the mayor, and then the mayor can turn around to one of, another city official and say, hey, fix this, get it done. And, as the City Hall reported, this is, sort of what interests me the most in how, our government works and how things get done and how things get changed and who has access to those, sort of positions of power.
Well, and I think that in general, we all would assume that the person who has $12 million to donate to the lakefront bike path probably has some special access. They know how to get people's emails. And, I was teasing
Absolutely.
Ken Griffin. I was teasing Ken Griffin earlier today that this must be one heck of a bike. And so I will backtrack on that. But I will also say that you or I and Joe Schmo, if we sustain $10,000 worth of damage to our car, that means it goes to the junkyard and we buy a new cruddy car. Because I don't still understand what he's doing, hitting the speed bump and sustaining $10,000 worth of damage to his car.
It does raise the question, how fast were you going on a residential street that when you hit the speed bump that you wished had been painted, that you did that kind of damage? So also something, not being a hedge fund billionaire, that I don't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, we're going to have to do more research into that. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. Heather Sharon from DNAinfo.com is on the phone with us. We're going to get a quick check of traffic now upstairs with Violetta Podramatic. Joining us on the phone is still Heather Sharon. She is the City Hall reporter for DNAinfo.com. Chatting a little bit about Mayor Rahm Emanuel's very interesting cache of emails that have been released. Heather, there's 3,000 of them. I'm sure you haven't read every one. I'm sure everybody at DNA Info is pouring over them. What's the most fascinating thing you've read out of these so far?
Well, there's a lot. You mentioned Lindsay Rice's coverage of the of Alderman Joe Moore's sort of emails to Rahm in the middle of the Laquan McDonald situation. I think it's also interesting that the it shows that the mayor was frequently courted by out-of-town media sort of luminaries like Wolf Blitzer and Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC and CNN, respectively, and that he is not one to let media coverage go without keeping a very close eye on it. There are dozens upon dozens of emails where he asks his aides, okay, we just did this. How is it playing? How is the coverage? What's going on? And that, I think, is interesting because I think sometimes we, as reporters, sort of, wonder how what we write and what we, sort of produce is being, sort of perceived by the people it concerns. And the mayor is absolutely fascinated by his coverage. The other thing that's I think, interesting is that these emails date back 2011. And it shows that at least at one point, the mayor and now Governor Bruce Rauner had a very, you know, sort of close relationship. At one point, the future governor complained about something that the city had done. It raised tax rates at sort of on conventions and at McCormick Place. And the mayor responded, you know, I love you. You know, here's what we're doing. And, you know, which is a very sort of awkward position for the mayor to be in right now, because I've reported extensively on how the governor's decision to veto $215 million of money for the Chicago public school system has basically blown a hole in the school district's budget and raises the possibility that next month, after the holidays, the school district may have to cut that an equivalent amount of money out of its budget, out of its classroom budget, so that it can make its pension payments in the spring. So that's interesting. It's also, you know, interesting that he conducted so much business, you know, sort of on his personal account, when, you know, he repeatedly said, you know, throughout, you know, after being sued by both the Better Government Association and the Tribune, you know, that all of the relevant emails were sort of being preserved and that he wasn't doing anything wrong. But he made the point yesterday in his statement that technology has sort of outstripped the policies involving transparency and the release of public information. And he said that sort of banning the use of private email accounts is sort of a step in the right direction to making sure that the public can keep an eye on what he and other public officials are doing.
How good do you feel about what was released? Because as you said, they chose what to release so far. They redact some of the stuff that they released.
Yeah.
So what do you think we really got out of this? Do you think that there's a lot more that would be, that clearly they're not giving us everything, and there's probably more that would be a little more telling?
Well, you know, what's one of the most frustrating things as a political reporter, and I guess it's, you know, true for any kind of reporter, is that you don't know what you don't know. You know, if I had a crystal ball that could tell me what I don't know, I would be, you know, 95% of the way to figuring that out. But I didn't see very many emails about the Lucas Museum. And of course, there was a big fight that raged up until, you know, about 6 months ago about whether the museum was going to be allowed to be built on the lakefront near Soldier Field, which drew fierce opposition from the Friends of the Parks that said that it would violate the city's prohibition of building permanent structures on the lakefront in sort of, contravening Daniel Burnham's grand plan for the lakefront to be sort of the city's front yard and open and accessible to everybody. I expected to see more emails about that. You know, we also saw some, you know, sort of, you know, heartrending emails. There's an email from Father Michael Flagger, who, of course, is the pastor of St. Sabina Church on the South Side. And, you know, it had been a particularly violent weekend. And, of course, there have been too many particularly violent weekends in Chicago this year. And, you know, who reached out to the mayor to tell him, you know, sort of what had happened in his community. And the mayor's response was, very curt, as they are in most of the emails, where he said, you know, I know. But, you know, it gives you a sense of, you know, sort of how many emails the mayor got and sort of what he was being sort of confronted with on a daily basis.
Well, there's all sorts of stories at DNAinfo.com, at ChicagoTribune.com, where you can read about the emails. But if you go to DNAinfo.com, they have also put all of the emails there that you can scroll through and enjoy for yourself over your long holiday weekend. Heather Sharon, go ahead, Heather.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, get a glass of wine, you know.
Kick back,
put the fire on, yeah.
Get that Yule Log channel on the TV and just sit there and enjoy some ROM all weekend long. Heather Sharon, thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Thanks, Matt.
You bet. Have a Merry Christmas. Let's get the news next on 720 WGN.